done for him. Amen. And when I read this, okay, I will give thee thy life. What more does a man want than his life? It is the essential thing. And then quoting a portion of Jeremiah 45:5, thy life for a prey, means that wherever you may go, even if it is into hell, you will come out with your life. Nothing can harm you. Okay? Based on Jeremiah 45:5. Now, whenever I've heard pastors say that, I'd sit there and I'd think, yeah, that's right. But I don't know if if I'd word it quite that way, because there's no way I'm going to hell. And I understand the point pastor is making. But here, back in the mid-1900s,
World War One.
Okay. During the time frame of World War One, Oswald Chambers, who is most known for this book, My Utmost for His Highest, which he did not write, his wife, his widow, wrote it. She was one of the first people to learn stenography, and she excelled in it. And as a result, she wrote down with shorthand every one of his messages, sermons, Bible study, whatever he did. And after he died, she wrote, compiling his writings, My Utmost for His Highest. And when I read that, I thought, all right, Roger, that ends it all. Pastor has a high endorsement of his statement. Even before, when were you born?
1954.
Okay, long after he said it, okay? And so I just found that fascinating. Obviously, I found it fascinating. I photocopied and gave it out to you and called attention to it. That's good. That's good. Thank you, Pastor, for that. Indeed. Now, I think that's all the announcements that I have. And so, I begin by saying a Christian can be confident. Just letting you think of that. A Christian can be confident. The last two prayer meetings, I talked about the old nature and the new nature, and how we, of course, are to yield to the new nature and not live by the old nature. This old nature of ours is like ropes that bind us. It's like the tentacles of an octopus encircling its prey. It makes life like a maze without an end door. The Christian should be content and satisfied. The Christian should have a peaceful, restful life. We ought not live in turmoil or semi-turmoil, only to come out of it and find for a short period of time some rest, only to fall back in to the quandary of needing peace. Turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. The Christian can be confident. The Apostle Paul says regarding himself about the Philippian believers, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm not suggesting that this needs to be adopted, but Chelsea, that would be a good theme verse for the theme of your ladies' meeting. For girls, ladies seeking assurance, being confident that he which hath begun a good work in you. If God has begun a good work in you, he will perform it. Okay? That's where our confidence comes from. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul is extending the thought of what he says in Philippians 1:6, that he was confident that what God began, he would perform. And now in 2 Timothy, he says that he was persuaded that God is able to keep that. God is able. That's why we sing the song, he is able. He is able. I know he is able. I'm not able, you're not able, but he is able. Some Christian people seem to have more troubles than others, yet courageously and even joyfully they live. What is their secret? It is not that they in themselves have more strength to bear their burdens than other people, nor is it that they are not as affected by the pain, the sorrow, the turmoil of what they're dealing with. No. What is involved is they're living scripturally. Those people that you wish you could be like them, you can. They have simply learned 1 Peter 5:7. I say simply. It may have been hard for them to get there, but the simplicity of what they found when they were there, and they got there because they quit trying themselves. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, coming to that point is not easy. But neither is it impossible to get to. Don't keep looking at yourself envyingly at others and wishing you could have what they have. My Christian friend, wishing gets nothing done. That one thing has come about in the Christian life because a person wished for it. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. Proverbs 16 and verse 20. He, I'm going to wait till I hear the leaves stop rustling. Proverbs 16, verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The focus word there is trust. He, whoso trusteth in the Lord, that's who's happy. Why is it I'm always upset, why is it I can't find peace? You're probably not trusting in the Lord. Because verse 20 tells us, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. If I'm not happy, this verse identifies one of the reasons. There are other possible reasons Scripture identifies, but this is one of the possible reasons. You're not trusting in the Lord. You're trusting in yourself. You're trusting in your past religiousness. Learning to trust in Christ with our troubles will enable us to experience Ezra chapter 6 and verse 22. Let me read it to you, because Ezra could be one of those difficult ones to find. Ezra 6, 22, the Lord made them joyful. The Lord. It's all centered in Jesus. And that was the previous two Wednesday nights, what I was emphasizing. The centrality of Jesus Christ in our life. Not our church attendance. I am convinced. You know, we've heard statistics regarding pornography. We've heard statistics back in Spurgeon's day of half of the people in the church not being saved. We've heard more recent statistics to those effects. Well, here's another one. Now, I've done no study to come up with this matter, but I'm convinced that at least half of the people in a church are not living with Christianity. They're living with churchianity. Their hope, their confidence, their certainty, their everything, they're basing on the fact that they're in church all the time.
Yes, sir.
They hold positions in a church. They were teased on the pew. Okay? In other words, they've always been in church all their life. Now you have to know that I, as a pastor, completely endorse that kind of faithfulness to church. But as a result of our walk with Christ, not in order to try to produce a life in Christ. That's why one could have difficulty in consistency in their Christian life. Because it's not Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's you in the church that's your hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. It's not built on my church membership. Though we took a membership once we came here and decided this is where we're going to come, then we wanted to take a membership here. There wasn't any reason not to. If you're not a member, you ought to be. There isn't any reason not to be. You say, well, you know, I don't want to make a mistake. Maybe I become a member and then I change my mind. Well, you know what? It's easier to get out of a membership than it is to get into one. And that's the advice I would tell to people when they say, well, I'm thinking about joining, but I'm not really sure I'm ready for it. And then I'd chat with them what they meant by that. And then I would usually tell them, look, join the church. I knew they met the criteria that the church at the time I was pastoring, the criteria that it had for members, I knew they met it. And they say, well, what if? I said, well, if you change your mind, then you just write us a letter that says, please remove my membership. And bingo, it's over. Now, listen, this matter of church membership, this is a really important thing. It's a significant thing. But I'm afraid people make it into something far different than what it really is. And so I didn't expect to preach on church membership tonight, but, and I'm not even sure where I was that I got into that. But Ezra says, the Lord made them joyful. That's where I got into it. The Lord made them joyful, not their church, or in their case, their tabernacle or temple membership. Charles Widmyer was a hymn writer who wrote "Beauty for Ashes, Gold for My Dross, Joy for My Sorrow, A Crown for My Cross, Peace for Each Heartache, A Balm for My Pain, Sunshine for Shadows, and A Bow After Rain." That's what God promises. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Now, when God promised that, you can count on it, He's going to keep it. He will do just what He said. But oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. This underscores God's providential care and His preservation of His people. God is constantly watching over us. You may have heard the true story that I'm about to tell, how God used a spider. Felix of Nola was an early Christian martyr who discovered this truth of God's protection. His enemies were pursuing him. As he was fleeing, he saw a cave, not with a great big huge opening, but nevertheless, obviously, the opening to a cave. And he hid in that cave. And just as he entered into the opening of the cave, a spider began to spin a web over the opening. His enemy was chasing him. They passed by the cave. They stopped and they saw the spider web. They didn't bother looking inside, concluding that no one could have entered that cave with its size opening without disturbing the web.
Amen.
One of God's noble workmen was spared for further service to God and the church because of this coincidence of a spider. Yeah, a Romans 8:28 coincidence. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. In times of trouble, God is aware. Do not despair. Your Father will provide by His loving care. Are you in this Christian living for the long haul? Or are you in it just for what you can get for the present time? When God stops providing, when God stops the good times, that's when so many quit.
Yep.
They give up. And they blame it on this, they blame it on that. And you can count on it. What they blame it on is usually involves two things. One, the pastor. Two, the church. And depending on who it is, it might be you that they'll blame. But God is able. When Felix thought of help from God, he probably did not think about a spider. Would you? I know I wouldn't. God's kind providence teaches us to trust in His wise provision. When you pray and ask God's help, don't begin, and this is such a natural thing to happen, but guard against it. I must guard against it. I urge you to guard against it. When you pray and ask God to provide, be careful that your mind doesn't race with what He might do to provide.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Because inevitably, it's something different.
It is.
And we might miss it. Because what we have for expectations are not what God intended. Next week, I'm going to look and extend this matter of confidence in Christ and confidence as a believer. We're going to look at the subject of burdens, okay, and develop these thoughts into the area of the matter of burdens. Father in heaven, I do pray that your Spirit will be the one to teach us, that He will take, dear Father, from your scriptures, and yes, from some of the experiences like Felix of Nola, and show us, Father, how you desire to work in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to have the faith to trust, just to depend upon you to do it in your own wise way. For it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we ask it. Amen.